Daniel chapter 6, please, in your Bibles. One of the most well-known accounts that you'll find in the Bible because it is a tremendous children's story, but that's unfortunately where it has stopped. Some people just look at it as a children's story, even among Christians. But Daniel was a man who had a testimony worthy of persecution. Please notice that phrase that I just said. Daniel was a man who had a testimony worthy of persecution. Let me ask you, do you have a testimony worthy of persecution? Is your testimony such that people would persecute you for what they know about you and your relationship with the Lord? Daniel was a man who was steadfast through persecution. And really, when you look at the book of Daniel, which is a prophetic book, much eschatology in this book, what you see in chapter 6 foreshadows the moral characteristics of the times of the Gentiles, a day in which we live. This is the day or the times of the Gentiles. And because there's so much pressure put on believers today, many believers are backing off and making sure that they do not stick out. They're making sure that they are in the closet and nobody knows about them. They're buckling under the world's pressure. There's a correlation with a promise given each of the seven churches in Revelation. And this is, I think, applicable to Daniel. When the Bible says in Revelation seven times in chapters 2 and 3, he that overcometh. This is a day when we need believers to be overcoming, to be victors. That's the word overcometh. Nikao, Nike, victors. He who is Nikao, he who is overcoming, he who is having the victory. Hebrews 10:36 says this, for ye have need of patience. That word patience literally means ye have need of remaining under the pressure. Not trying to get out from under the pressure, remaining under the pressure, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, we may not face persecution yet. But until we do, how about being faithful through the trials that we do face? And not giving up when the difficulty arises. How about facing the problems, whether they be outside this church or within this church, the difficulties, and not giving up? Facing difficulties. You see, if somebody is not faithful through trials, how can you expect that one to be faithful through persecution? Sometimes the little things that hit us among a body of believers that we cannot face foreshadows how we would stand up against the pressures in the world when the pressures of the world are put upon us. Daniel is now, in chapter 6, an old man. Some think he's probably in his 80s. Think about that. And in this chapter, Daniel chapter 6, I want you to see the example of a man of God, who was steadfast through persecution. I want you to see these things as I read this entire chapter. I'll give you the outline as I go along. First of all, we're going to see in verses 1 through 3 the competence of a steadfast man. Here's what it says in Daniel 6, 1 to 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So there's 123. Three presidents and 120 what we see here, satraps. Verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. So there we see the competence of a steadfast man, a man of excellence. Then we see the contempt for a steadfast man in verses 4 through 9. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So there we have seen the contempt for a steadfast man. But now we see in verses 10 and 11 the consistency of a steadfast man. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. There we see the consistency of a steadfast man. Now in verses 12 to 17, we see the conviction of a steadfast man. What I mean by conviction is the judgment placed upon him. Verse 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest, out loud please, continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his words, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So there we see the conviction or the judgment placed upon him. Now verses 18 to the end of the chapter, we're going to see the contribution of a steadfast man. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest, out loud please, able to deliver thee from the lions? I'm pausing because I wonder what the king was thinking. Am I going to hear something? O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they may not hurt, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery of them and brake all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Here's a man who was steadfast. Steadfast through persecution. So we're going to go back to verses 1 and 3, and we're going to see the competence of a steadfast man. What made him competent? What was it? Well, we know Daniel was distinguished. He is known, according to verse 3, as possessing an excellent spirit. By the way, the same thing is said in chapter 5 and verse 12, a man possessing an excellent spirit. That word excellent means that which predominates. In other words, what was predominant in his life was the spiritual, not the physical. Here's a man who was heavenly minded. And this is where Christians need to be. This is where I'm challenging you this morning to have an excellent spirit. What is the evidence of an excellent spirit? Well, when I look at Daniel, two things. Number one, who he was. Who you are. Who are you? Who are you? The second point is going to be what you do. You see, what you do tells me who you are. What you don't do tells me who you are. Who was Daniel? Well, if you go back to chapter 1 when he's 17 years old, we think, chapter 1, here's what is said about this man and his three friends. Daniel 1:17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said that he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, how many times better? 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even at the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel is or was who he was because he had an excellent spirit in him. And that excellent spirit could not be hid. So who you are will be exhibited in what you do. He had an excellent spirit. Who you are is revealed in what you do. In other words, the work that you do reveals who you are. A spirit of excellence produces excellent work. We saw the excellence of Daniel in chapter 1 and verse 20. Who you are is exhibited in what you do. So do you think that when Daniel did something, he did it excellently? Do you think he did it well? I'll tell you why. It's because he had an excellent spirit within him. The Washington Times had an article that came out in October of 2015, and the subtitle is this, and I want you to get this. On dating sites, spelling, punctuation are judged. Now listen to what they say in this article. Quote, beyond personal hygiene, singles say they judged a date foremost by the person's grammar. The survey found 88% of women and 75% of men said they cared about grammar most, putting it ahead of a person's confidence and teeth. And then in this article, they quote a proofreading company, a company that proofreads articles and things for people. Quote, people use quality of writing as an indication of work ethic, end quote. You know, I find it interesting that the world has a standard of excellence that Christians don't. I attended a university, Bob Jones University, that when it was founded because the founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., said, I'm getting tired of the fact that people think that if you're a Christian, you have to have dirty fingernails, you have to have baggy pants, is the way they put it back then, and so forth and so on. I want to found a university that trains young people to be excellent. That has gone by the wayside in Christianity today. You see, we want to fit in with the world. We don't want to stand out. We want to fit in. Because when you stand out, it's like you have a target drawn on you. Where is the excellence that ought to be exhibited in the lives of Christians? Where is the excellence in the work that you do, whether it be at home, whether it be at work, whether it be at church? Where is the excellence, the attention to details? If singles judge their dates this way, how about how they will judge believers? I have no respect for a preacher who gets up and uses the word ain't all the time, or is constantly using double negatives, or is constantly doing things that do not exhibit excellence. Now, I know that that just made you judge me. And mistakes are made. Blueberry instead of blackberry. Some of you weren't here when I made that mistake. You don't even know what I'm talking about. There used to be something, a smartphone called a BlackBerry. Or was it a blueberry? I forget. But people get upset with me when I expect excellence. Oh, you're too picky. Why shouldn't things be excellent? Why shouldn't they be? Why do people dress dumpy? Come on, we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There needs to be some excellence in everything that we do. Paul's prayer for the Philippian believers is found in chapter 1 of Philippians, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he said. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." That word judgment there is the word where we get aesthetics. What are aesthetics? Well, it has to do with the perception of beauty. And Paul is saying, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all perception of beauty. And then he goes on to say this in verse 10, that ye may approve, that is put to the test, things that are excellent. Now the word excellent there has to do with the things that make a difference. That ye may be sincere and without offense. In other words, giving no offense till the day of Christ. Now, I've had a discussion with somebody this week about offending people. People say, I get really upset when I offend somebody. Did Daniel offend anybody here? Yes. Yeah, he offended the right people because of what he did. And if you have a spirit of excellence, you're going to offend people. But that's not what Paul is talking about. He's talking about people who do not have a spirit of excellence, who by not having a spirit of excellence, they offend people. How do people judge you when your excellence is lacking? And then you say, well, that's because I'm a Christian. You give an opportunity for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme him. Here's the competence of a steadfast man. You see, Daniel did not have an excellent spirit because of what he did. He did what he did because he had an excellent spirit. And folks, if you walk in the Spirit, you will have a spirit of excellence because the Holy Spirit is excellent. Daniel was steadfast because of his competence. He had an excellent spirit. By the way, a few verses later, verse 4, it says, for as much as he was faithful, for as much as he was faithful, everything he did, he was faithful. What is the theme that we have had for the past couple of years that I've even put this year? Faithful and wise stewards of God's truth. Faithful. The competence of a steadfast man. But then, I'm telling you, if you exhibit excellence, Who's the first person they come at pointing fingers at? Who's the first person they try to shoot down? And so we see the contempt for a steadfast man, verses 4 through 9. Now, we've already read the verses, but let me just say this about these verses. Sometimes we as believers back off from excellence in order not to shine or to stand out, not to be predominant in our spirit. We want to go unnoticed because when you stand out, this is what happens in school. One student who really has a drive to do excellent work does it, and the other kids make fun of him. Oh, you're the teacher's pet. What does that student do? Backs off. What happens to Christians when they do excellent work? Well, with the world we now live in, do you think that people generally have a good work ethic? You think that people generally have this idea of doing an excellent job? No, not anymore. And so if you work in a place like that and you stand out, oh, you're the boss's baby. Oh, you're the... And they begin firing salvos at you. That's what they were doing to Daniel. Why were they after Daniel? Well, there are two things about him. The last part of verse 3, Darius the king was thinking about setting him over the whole realm. He saw such excellence in this man. He said, you know what? I'm thinking about some. This guy, there's something about him. He was thinking about setting him. He's going to be vice president. Out of the 123, this man has a spirit of excellence. This man is faithful. I can trust this man. If this guy says he's going to do something, he does it. Every time. Secondly, these men were after Daniel because he distinguished himself among the others. He was preferred above the presidents and princes, verse 3. And so they tried to find fault, it says, concerning the kingdom. That is, in how he served in his government position. They tried to find some fault in his work, in what he was doing there in the government position that he had. But there were no grounds of corruption. There were no grounds for negligence found in him. He did his job well. He did it with excellence. So in verse 5, they tried to find fault in any other area in order to avoid suspicion that they discriminated against him because of his religion. But they finally concluded they were not going to find anything against him unless it's in the area that they already despise. His relationship with God. Let me ask you something. Is there enough evidence of your relationship with God to accuse you? We read twice, let's look at verse 20 of chapter 6, when it is said to Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest, and I had you say this word out loud, continually. What was Daniel's testimony to King Darius? What was Daniel's testimony to those 122 others? He served his God continually. What a tremendous testimony. You think about the current political climate in our country today. And if you're not able to find fault, if they're not able to find fault with believers for their work ethic and for their relationship with God, you know where they're going to try to find it? In their moral ethic. And so the tables are now being turned where they are saying, we are the moral ones. You people are the immoral ones. These who believe in abortion are now the moral people, and you are immoral for saying that we should no longer have the murder of children. How the tables have turned. And so they're going to try to find fault with you regarding that. Your stand on morality. Against perversion. Now, who's the bad guy in our country? It's believers who take a stand on the scripture. Now, no man is sinless. And yet Daniel, he proved that a Christian can have such a testimony that no error, no fault could be found in him. And by nature, a man of such character is going to have a clash with this world. More and more, we see fewer and fewer people who have it all together. And those who do are almost despised. In verses 6 through 9, Daniel is conspired against. And in verse 7, note what is said. All the presidents, they're telling King Darius, all the presidents, all the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together. Let me ask you something. Is that true? Who did they not consult? Liars. Do we have any liars in Congress today? Do we have any people who will lie to accomplish their agenda today? You see, it's nothing new. They stand shoulder to shoulder with these 122. They conspired against Daniel. The Gentiles have no problem lying if it serves their purposes. The news media has no problem lying if it accomplishes their agenda. The contempt for a steadfast man. Now, when the world has contempt for you because of your relationship with God, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which went before you. Daniel being one of them. Then we see in verses 10 to 11 the consistency of a steadfast man. Two things about this consistency. This consistency, number one, was over the long term. Go back to chapter 1 and notice what it says in verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. He was 17 at this time. He is now in chapter 6, I figured around 82 years old. You see any consistency there over the long term? Daniel, in chapter 1 took place about 604 B.C. He was 17 years old. Daniel chapter 6 is probably 539 B.C. 65 years later, he's 82 years old, and he continued. Here was a man of consistency. So he was consistent over the long term. Secondly, he was consistent over the short term, because now they say in verse 7, for 30 days, O king, no one shall ask a petition except of thee. For 30 days. Now, folks, here's our reasoning. If this came up, if a law came up in the state of Colorado where you couldn't do something for 30 days, here's our thinking, here's our reasoning. Well, for 30 days, I'm sure God will understand. If we don't pray, I'm sure God will understand. And that could have been the reasoning that Daniel had. Because it's the kind of reasoning we already have. That, you know, it doesn't hurt not, you know, if I'm on vacation, or, you know, I don't have to go to church. I shouldn't go to church. You know, it's no big deal. God has providentially ordered a vacation from spiritual things, Daniel could have reasoned here. But he was consistent. And you see that consistency in the very last part of verse 10. As he did aforetime. What he had been doing because it was right, he kept on doing because it was right. Yeah, but times have changed, people say. We must change with them. No, as he did aforetime. You know what? People could count on Daniel. They could set their clocks by him. Because what do you see him doing? They found Daniel, verse 11, praying and making supplication before his God. Because he went to his knees three times a day. He prayed, gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. They could set their clocks by what he did. They knew where he could be when it had to do with the God he served. Folks, can the world set their clocks by the consistency of what you do for God? Oh, there they go to church again. Must be Sunday, because people lose track of time now because Sunday's nothing to them. Oh, honey, it must be Sunday. Such and such, they're on their way to church again. And it must be around, I don't know, what time do you leave home? 9:29 to be to church on time? Oh, it must be 9:50. It must be 9 o'clock. Or 8:45 if you're Marvin and Dolores. They win the prize for being the first ones here every Sunday. Not really. The Pierces get here probably. It's a battle between the Fries and the Pierces. The consistency. Consistency of a steadfast man. Folks, if you're not consistent when the stakes are low, how do you think you're going to be when the stakes are high? And then we go in verses 12 to 17, the conviction. That is the sentence against a steadfast man. He was convicted for refusing to deify a man. Even the man who had thought to set Daniel over the whole realm. Daniel could not be flattered. King Darius could. Hey, king, let's make a law. Nobody can make a petition for 30 days of anyone except for you. He could be flattered. Daniel? The deification of man, as you will see in chapter 3 of Daniel, is again taking place. Remember chapter 3? Nebuchadnezzar makes this image. Gold, silver, bronze, and so forth. Demands that everybody worship that image. People worship me. That always brings Christians into conflict. And the world wants us to worship them. Here's an example of what a child of God must do when a law conflicts with your relationship with God. Obey God and suffer the consequences. But pastor, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. That's right, until they conflict with my duties toward God. The apostles made it very clear in the book of Acts. Daniel's decisions were not based upon convenience or comfort, but what pleased the Lord. How will you know that you will be able to do this one day, perhaps? I'll tell you how. By being faithful today in the little things. Luke 16:10. You see, Jesus puts forth the principle there that if you're faithful in the little things, you're more likely to be faithful in the big things. How do you know who you cannot trust? Somebody makes this little dinky promise, Pastor, I will do such and such. And then they don't do it. You think I'm going to trust that person when the big things come along? You think that person deserves to be a deacon, a trustee, whatever? Oh, it was just a little thing. That's right. It's the little things. It's the little things. Verse 13, that Daniel. King Darius in verse 14, displeased with himself. And yet here, this king, an unbeliever, recognizes something that even believers don't. I've got to keep my word. I've got to keep my word. And this unbelieving king does what he wished he had never said he would do. Putting Christians to shame who don't do what they should do. In verse 16, you discover the reason for Daniel's excellent spirit. He served his God continually. Verses 16 and 20. That is the key, folks, to being steadfast through persecution. What a testimony. This is the need today for believers to be known as those who serve their God continually. We know that God will deliver us from the lions, but does the world know that because you serve such a God continually? King Darius, when he had him thrown into the den of lions, said, the God whom you serve continually, Daniel, he's going to take care of you. As if Daniel needed to know that from the king. But that's not the point. The king recognized it. And then we see the contribution of a steadfast man. When a man is faithful, when a man is steadfast through persecution, is there any kind of an impact on this world? Note the impact of his consistent life. In verse 20, the real lions really weren't those in the den. The real lions were those who hated God's man. And boy, you talk about hate. People see, you know, talking about love all the time. I'll tell you what. They are the biggest haters in this world. They hate God. And they hate his people. Why? In verse 23, Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he, what? His God. He believed his God. And so we read this in Hebrews 11, 32 to 33. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. By faith, the lions' mouths were shut. Well, these lions weren't hungry. Verse 24. They were so hungry that before those people who were then cast into the den of lions, before or ever they had even touched the bottom of the den, the lions had smashed their bones completely. So hungry that as people were falling, let's say that the top of it was as much. By the way, one of the miracles was that Daniel fell that distance and didn't even break a bone. I've often thought of that. But now the lions, let's say this room is, are leaping up, grabbing the people falling down and breaking their bones. Why? They were starving. But Daniel, the night before, cast in there. And I remember reading about or hearing this when I was a little kid. My parents would bought this what do you call those big floppy disks? You know, they bought an LP, whatever. And the kids don't know, they have a record. Kids don't know about this today. It was about that big. And that big floppy disk they put, and then you put the needle on it. And I would listen to it for hours. My parents got this. It was Bible stories. And I would look at the cover as they were telling these Bible stories. And the one about Daniel in the lion's den, I'll never forget. The picture that they had as they told the story is Daniel with his head on the belly of one of the lions, sleeping soundly because he had faith in God. He believed his God. Darius proclaims in verse 26 that Daniel's God is steadfast forever. Now, what's the theme of this message? Steadfast through persecution. Folks, the truth that Darius sees about God, he first saw in God's man. And that only because he was steadfast through persecution. Indeed, you are the only Bible some will ever read. Daniel's testimony brought persecution upon himself, but it also brought glory to God in the life of Darius. That's the contribution. That's the impact he had. Is your testimony worthy of persecution? Do you possess a spirit of excellence that is evident to all?